on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us, everybody. The Front Room exhibition at the Baltimore Museum of Art currently features the work of Seth Adelsberger. He was born in Emmitsburg, and he received a degree in fine arts from Towson University. A co-founder of the Nudishank Gallery, he has exhibited the work of many emerging artists, and now nearly a dozen of his own works are featured in the BMA's Contemporary Wing in a show curated by the BMA's Curator of Contemporary Art, Kristen Heilman. Seth Adelsberger joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Hi.
So your work is really stunning. I was over at the BMA and checked it out and chatted with you a little bit a couple of weeks ago. So thanks for coming in this morning. You're very conscious of the evolution of the abstract expressionist movement. Your work is very much informed by your understanding of abstract expressionism. Talk us through how that came to be.
I've always had an interest in abstraction, I guess, since I've been painting, and just the way modernism kind of unfolds when you're studying early on, from, you know, just academic approaches, learning still life and life drawing, and then, you know, discovering somebody like Cezanne and Cubism and how the Western art history has kind of evolved over the past century. And so abstraction is a large chunk of the past century of development in art, and I think we're at a point where all the movements developed so rapidly in succession that they didn't all entirely get digested. They just kind of moved from one to the next, and we're at a point now where we can look back and kind of rethink how all those pieces fit together.
Do you think that pace of growth, that pace of change is continuing, or perhaps even it's even heightened now as compared to, say, the 40s, the 50s, when, you know, people think about abstraction coming into its own?
Yeah, I think the pace has kept up or even quickened. It's dispersed, and it's just evolving in a way where it's exploring all the nuances and kind of transitional periods between movements, and almost kind of like a remix culture where different styles are combined into something that seems familiar but also is a reaction to technology. And I think that's painting's basic nature, is it's a very old medium that people have been using for a long time, but and it's full of history. But now, you know, it can absorb different technologies. It can react to developments in photography, like what happened with Impressionism, and you know, it just kind of reacts. So I think right now, work is reacting to computers and iPhones and just a kind of image saturation in the way work lives. Also on the internet and then in real life. But for the most part, people are seeing the work on Instagram and Facebook and websites and documentation that way.
And, of course, your work involves a number of these technologies. What happens to the relationship between the work and the viewer when that work is confronted or understood from the internet or from a computer screen or a television screen, as opposed to standing in the gallery and looking at the work directly?
I think there's a compression. There's especially with painting, and its kind of relevance now. It's mainly due to its compression and flatness on a computer screen, and then the fact that it's illuminated, and oftentimes, especially if you're looking at work on an iPhone, you're not really able to zoom in or see the surface or see the materiality of it or the details. So it becomes a thumbnail, and that, you know, combined with infinite scrolling and just the saturation of imagery, I think the viewing time is even smaller and less than walking through a museum or a gallery. So things have to be digested quicker, or they have an impact, or they don't immediately, and they're sifted through quickly.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Joining me in the studio this morning, the artist Seth Adelsberger. His work is featured in the Front Room exhibition at the BMA. One of the pieces that I found particularly intriguing appears at first sight to simply be a blank frame. There's a frame that is decorated, painted, very colorful on all four sides, but there's no painting in the middle of it, as it were. What are you saying with that kind of work?
With that piece, I took what is essentially the basic all-over field of abstract expressionism, kind of like Jackson Pollock's work, and how a field like that can easily become decorative or relate very much to wallpaper. And I think that piece in particular is the beginning of a conceptual narrative that feeds into the rest of the work that I've been working on.
And what is that narrative? Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, the narrative is it's about commerce and the way art now is less about art historical developments or any large movement you can pinpoint, and it's more about industrial production and artists becoming essentially worker bees, creating luxury goods for a wealthy class.
And so what does that mean then? What does that indicate the future of artists and art is going to be?
That's a tough question. Maybe it points to, I think it's unique in Baltimore where there isn't much of an art market. And so I think locally there's a tendency and has been for the past maybe two decades of artists focusing more on ephemeral and performative work and experimental avenues and less about the object, less about the market, because there's just not much of an art economy.
You're conscious of this. I mean, you ran a gallery for a while.
Right.
So if anybody's going to know about the art market, excuse me, it's going to be you. And it's interesting because, I'm not in a position to dispute your contention that there is not much of an art market here in Baltimore, but there does seem to be a very thriving arts scene. I mean, we've got Artscape going this week.
Right.
We've got 21 galleries participating in the Artscape Gallery Network. We've mm-hmm. got, you know, people's work being shown all over the place. And many people have commented that there's sort of more art and more artistic activity than we sort of almost deserve in a town our size, you know, in Baltimore, which is not a large city. But the market is a different thing than the fact
right,
that people are producing right. all this stuff.
Yeah, I think the conditions in Baltimore right now and have been perfect for artists, you know, low rent, available studio space, you know, great, you know, huge industrial spaces to work in. And really that's the situation you want to be in as an artist. When if you're working in New York, the economic pressures just to pay, you know, outrageous rent and then your studio rent on top of that. And it's just a whole different system of economics.
And with the internet and with the ease of displaying your images, maybe not in person, but, you know, you can certainly get them displayed. Perhaps it's not so important to be in New York or Los Angeles or, you know, the other art capitals.
I think it's getting to that point where you could take a spare bedroom or take any space and paint it white and hang work in it and show your friends or curate shows otherwise. And you can reach huge audiences and build a reputation as a gallery without having really any collector support or financial backing.
Yeah, so it's a whole different paradigm.
Yeah.
One of the pieces that's intriguing is a set of six images that you shot a screenshot of a piece of carpet. Mm-hmm. How did you come across that idea?
That, again, relates to commerce and shopping online. When I was first offered the opportunity to show at the BMA, I've wanted to buy these really awful carpets and do some found object collage on top of that using the carpet as the base. But in shopping, I came across a particularly bad design, a very beige, modernist, overly designed carpet. And from that JPEG, I took screenshots of zoomed in kind of thumbnail selections of it and then manipulated it further and had them reprinted as carpets. And then
so these are actually printed on pieces of carpet.
Yeah, these are commercially printed through another website.
And this is an example of something that you see on the internet, and it's not, you don't get nearly the effect of seeing it in person, because when you stand there in person next to these pieces, you can see that they're pieces of carpet. They've been printed on on the carpet, right?
Yeah, directly to the carpet.
There's a texture and a feel to them that's very, very different than when you're looking at the images in a catalog or something.
Right, right. And something you don't really realize if you just kind of walk into the show and glance over them, you're not going to see that until you get up really close, the materiality of the carpet. But the idea was, and they're mounted to panels. So the other thing is they're put back on the wall as painting in dialogue with painting. And so that's kind of the full trajectory of this historical narrative where abstraction was progressive and avant-garde in the 50s and 60s, and then very quickly kind of became a decorative aesthetic and became carpet design and other kind of more functional things and divorced from its original conceptual intent or high art standing. So taking the source material from that kind of fallen place and then using the museum as an opportunity and a lens to re-elevate it back into the dialogue of high art.
Kristen Heilman has chosen to feature the work of a number of local artists at the BMA in these front room exhibitions since the Contemporary, you know, was reopened. What's it mean to you as a young artist to be chosen by the BMA to have such a high profile show?
I mean, it's a huge opportunity, and it involves, you know, a certain amount of faith and risk on the part of the museum to work with young emerging artists.
What are your hopes that will? What do you think the consequences and the impact on your career from this exhibition will be? Can you identify them with any specificity?
It's just a great achievement. Something I never would have expected to happen ever, maybe, or you know, it's just a great opportunity, and the visibility of the museum, and just the chance to see my work in the context of all the great work in the collection, and I think a lot of that was what I was responding to in making the work.
Yeah. Well, I think you've taken you've maximized this opportunity in every way, because it's a really beautiful exhibition. So thanks for coming in and talking about it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Seth Adelsberger, you can see his work in the Contemporary Wing of the Baltimore Museum of Art until the 2nd of November. The exhibition will close just before the BMA has its grand reopening of the original entrance to the museum and its American Wing. We've got details and links to images of Seth Adelsberger's work on our website. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today on Friday Morning, a conversation with Dr. Carla Hayden, the director of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. She'll have some suggestions for summer reading, and Sheila will speak with the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals, Mary Ellen Barbera. We hope you can join us Friday morning on Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WIPR in Baltimore. You can learn more about what you've heard on our show or catch something you've missed on our website. Again, come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. The show is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. We've got production help from Brandon Block, Alexander Kennedy, and Justina Latimer. For Sheila Cast, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.